relationship series this morning, and I'm going to start with a question to introduce my topic. And I was thinking to myself this week about certain things. Anybody just ask yourself questions? So I was asking myself this question, and I said, I know that you call, like, mother, father, children, grandparents, cousins, aunties, aunts, whatever you call them, uncles, whatever. You call that a family. You call a man and woman who gets married, has a wedding, get married, you call that a marriage. You call people who like each other, share common interests, walking in the same direction, you call that friends. You even call people you don't like foes or your enemies, haters, whatever you call them. We have definitions for all kind of relationship, but I thought about this. What do you call a relationship with yourself? Because after knowing God, you got to know you. Because if you don't know who you are, you would define yourself by the relationship that you're in. That makes sense in here. So I want to show you today what a relationship with yourself looks like. I want to call it an identity. When the you meet the real you. I want to know, is the person sitting in that seat, is that the real you? Or is that a shell of you? Or is that you that you think you should be? I want to help you to get to know yourself this world, because here's this morning, because here's what I think. I think much of the world is suffering with an identity crisis. We don't know who we are, so we're trying to get in where we fit in. We're looking for affirmation. We're looking for acceptance and all those things. I think you got to be good with you first, with the you God created you to be, before you can do anything. I want to give you a history lesson first, and I want to introduce this through a scripture when Jesus was talking to a group of people who were challenging him. Any of y'all have been challenged before? You've been challenged on your job, and you want to say, you must not know me. I'm saved now, but I still got these hands. I'm saved, but I know how to get you. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I even trying to test you? Yeah, there are people who don't know you who try to test you, and sometimes you feel like, I'm going to show you. Yeah, my mom used to say this, and when we were acting up, she said, I'm going to make a believe out of you. And you know, I knew exactly what mama meant. I said, Jonathan, we good now. And there's some people you want to make a believe out of them. So in Matthew 22, Jesus was getting tested by a group of smart people who knew the law. And they were testing Jesus to see his intellect. They were trying to kick knowledge and history, whatever that, like that, with him. And Jesus had a way of handling people to show them who he was without even losing his cool. Jesus had much swag. He had just his demeanor about himself. And they asked Jesus a question. They said, what is the greatest law? And Jesus summed up all the law with these two statements. When you think of law, you think of the law of Moses, you think of just 10 commandments, right? Do you not know there were 613 laws that they had to abide by? You could be breaking the law and didn't even know it. So Jesus said, I'm going to sum all those laws up for you in two. And so I want you to see this conversation. I don't know if it's my mic or what's going on here. They might have can I use one of you guys' mic? Let me use this one right here. I want to show you Jesus' conversation.
We good? All right. So here's the conversation Jesus was having. He was talking to these people, and I want you to hear how they were saying it to them. How many teachers do we have in the room here? Yeah, so they'll see Miss Trice. Miss Trice, hey, teacher, how you doing today? It wasn't that complimentary. Hey, teacher, how you doing today? They said, teacher. Almost calling him out his name. Teacher, you know all this stuff. You're a wise guy. Let me ask you a question here. What is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus probably replied in the best Barry White voice that he had. Because Jesus was cool like that. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He said, whatever, I'm not finished. Come back. This is the first and the greatest commandment. You know, they all worked up, teacher. Verse 39 says this, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, listen, here's how it goes. The entire law and all the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments. So Jesus having this conversation with these people who were trying to test him, test his intellect, test what he knew, and he quoted law back to them. And I imagine they were astounded. But in this moment, anybody ever had to get somebody together real quick? You ain't have long, so I'm going to get you together real quick. And they don't even know it till after they leave. Jesus taught a whole history lesson right here. Here was the first shift that he had with them. He shifted them from a plural you to a singular you. He quoted Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. They knew the law to them. He said, listen, can I explain to you? Their version of religion was quite quite a bit different than what we used to. Our version of religion, we know of, well, many of us know what we know of God is what we see on Sunday morning. You feel the Spirit. Oh, child, did you catch the Spirit this morning? I'm wondering, did you throw it back after you caught it? Like, we catch the Spirit. We feel Jesus. Ooh, he was not the presence of God there. They knew him through law. We know him through worship. We know him through a personal experience. So they knew the law. But Jesus said, I'm going to get you. He quoted Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 back to them. He said, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. When they heard this, they heard all of Israel. When God spoke in the Old Testament, he didn't speak to individual people unless he spoke to a prophet. He said, now God wants to speak to you. So I'm going to switch you from the you plural to the you singular, that you have to love God with your whole heart. Let me explain this to you. The law of Moses that we read, you know, it was written to an entire nation. It wasn't just like an individual person it was written to. So you see in the Bible, when the judges or the leaders were off, the whole nation got punished. Can you imagine this? When Jesus was raining frogs, you ain't doing nothing, you loving God. When God was raining plagues of frogs and all the stuff like that, it had nothing to do with the individual person. It had something to do with the entire nation that he punished. Yeah. Let me bring it down your row. When we were, this morning we were downstairs, I heard a group of the deacons talking, and they were asking Elder Holman here, they said, should we bring paddling back to school? He said, absolutely not. He said, they got some crazy parents out there. We're not dealing with all that. And they began to talk when they were in school. They said there was this one mean teacher that would take their hand and bend it all the way back as far as she could and take a ruler and just smack their hand. And she said, not only did one person get a whipping, but when one person got punished, the entire class got punished. Is there anybody glad in here that God has switched to the New Testament law? That just because somebody else messed up, you don't get punished. That God deals with you directly. So he said, I want to take you to, I deal with people individually, and I don't want you to see it as an entire nation. You got to love the Lord God with all your heart. He summed up the Old Testament law in just this one thing. He said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. He said, I want to talk to you directly. Here's the second shift. You all right in here? The second shift was this. He switched them from, he redefined who their neighbor was. He quoted Leviticus 19 and 18 to them, and he said, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. That wipes out half the room right there. Because many of us are still mad at people from a long time ago, that coach that messed you up, that teacher that said something crazy to you, that first person that broke your heart. He said, don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Do you know the law of Moses was not written to the entire world? It was just written to the children of Israel. So he was defining their neighbor as people who looked like them, talked like them, dressed like them, and did things that they just like they did. He said, that ain't your neighbor. He said, your neighbor is people who don't look like you, who don't dress like you, they don't think like you, they may not even like you, they may not observe the same things. He said, I'm getting rid of all the things that will cause you to be prejudiced and not to interact with people with love just because you don't like the way they do things. Y'all right in here? I was at an event once, and they said, I want you to pray, and we're going to pray for the USA. I said, I'm going to pray for the USA, but would you mind if I pray for the world too? And I prayed. I said, God bless the USA. I got a bunch of amens. And I said, God bless Canada. God bless Russia. God bless Yugoslavia. God bless Nigeria. God bless Ethiopia. God bless Israel. God bless Mexico. And I just start looking at me. And I'm thinking in my head, do you not know that the United States is not the only place that God loves? That God loves people in Mexico just as much as he loves us. God loves people in Russia just as much as he loves us. God loves people in Australia, wherever they are, just as much as he loves us. I think it's very arrogant to assume that we are just this chosen, special elect people. When you have neighbors, brothers and sisters, black, white, Hispanic, Asian descent, all over the world that God loves, not just you. Is anybody glad that God loves the world? He said, I'm sending Jesus not just for America. You all right in here? I'm sending him not just for Israel, but I got people spread out about in the world that I want to be your neighbor. How many of us have narrowed our world to people who just look like us? How many of us are afraid to people because you don't like the way they do things? I don't understand why they do that. They're your neighbor. What makes the world great is what many of us fight over. We're different. That's what makes the world great, that people have different diversity and expressions. When we lived in Antioch, this lady that lives beside us was this Indian lady, and all their food was hot, and she would cook and bring it over. Barbara loved it. I don't like hot food, but here's the great part. We don't all season our food the same. Some of us like fried chicken. Jesus. Some of us like baked chicken. Some of us like lemon pepper chicken. Some of us like barbecue chicken. Some of us like rotisserie chicken. Some of us like blackened chicken. But at the end of the day, it's all chicken. Some of us are black. Some of us are white. Some of us are Hispanic. Some of us are big. Some of us are tall. Some of us are little. But at the end of the day, we are the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious in his sight. So he said, I want to shift you from a plural view where you see God through the eyes of your nation. And I want you to see God through the eyes of your relationship. And I want you to view your neighbor not as just the people of Israel. I want you to view your neighbor. We're the non-denominational church. But I want you to view your neighbor as a Methodist, as a Baptist, as Church of God in Christ, as all kinds of churches who serve the name of Jesus. I want you to embrace people who may not even believe like you. We can disagree, and I don't have to be disrespectful. God loves us all. So my main point of today, I'll give you a history lesson why Jesus was telling me about love. And as the main word he kept saying was you, but here's my main idea for the day. You all right? He said, it's hard. I want to tell you this. It's hard to receive and give love when you don't know who you are. And it's hard to love your neighbor when you don't love yourself. Do you know how many of y'all walking around with complexes because somebody didn't love themselves and they put their insecurity on you? And now you think something's wrong with you because something was wrong with him. I want to tell you something. You can't make anybody happy. Did he just say that? As much as I love this woman right here, I can't make her happy. Happiness is a decision. There are some people, you can get them Florence from the Jeffersons. You can get Benson from that show. Jeffrey from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You can give them $1 million. You can get them a coconut cake from this person who makes them great here. You can get them fried chicken, barbecue chicken, and they still ain't going to be happy because happiness is a decision. Happiness is I decide to accept what God has given me. I decide to accept who I am, and I'm happy. Now, that ain't no excuse for me to treat people bad, but watch this. I can't make you happy. Y'all right in here? You have to make a decision to love yourself and be happy. Let me get to the life application part of this and we'll get where we're going. You have to love God with your whole heart and soul. Here's the most important part that we're saying here, that you have to love God. You got to see yourself as righteous. If I were to take a view and if I were to take a poll and I asked most people in here, do you think you're in right standing with God? Most of you are going to do a tally of all the sins that you did last week and say, I got a little deficit. I need to repent. Most of you, before you pray, now, God, now you know, I done did this. I did that. And I'm going to get all this out of the way so you can hear me. Being in right standing with God, it means I am righteous. I have to see myself the way God sees me. Somebody say, I am righteous. Say it again. Somebody say, I'm righteous. Meaning I see myself the way God sees me. I see myself as righteous through Jesus Christ. I am in right standing. I am right with God. Say it. I'm right with God. You know what that looks like? Who got DirecTV in here? Has there ever been a code on your TV like 721? 771? That code when you hadn't paid your bill? It said, in order to get this going, I remember one of the most embarrassing moments. Isaiah ran downstairs and said, Daddy, my TV says 721, and I can't get such and so. I'm like, all right, we get that fixed. There's something going on here. And then we ain't paid the bill there. When you are not in right standing, you don't have access. Some of y'all know nothing about that. If you've got DirecTV, you've had 771. When it rains and a signal is disconnected from the satellite. And when the signal is disconnected from the satellite, you don't have access to everything DirecTV has available. Here's the thing with God. I am never without access to him and all that he wants to do in my life. How many of you grew up old school church in here? You'll understand it when I say this. They should say Jesus is on the main line. You can tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. If you want your body healed, you can. If you want your soul saved, you can. If you want to be delivered, you can. Call him up and tell him what you want. Here's the thing about God. I always got access. In my lowest point, he's on the main line.
in my highest point, he's on the main line. When I'm sick, he's on the main line. When I'm down, he's on the main line. Why? Because I'm in right standing with God. I dare you to try it in here. Somebody need healing in their body. I want you to know he's on the main, on the main line. You need deliverance, you can call him right now. And here's what I found about God. I just love songs. There's a song they say, late in the midnight hour. God's going to turn it around. It's going to work in your favor. His phone never cuts off. 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He is on the main line, and I can call him up and tell him what I want. Is there anybody here that needs a connection with the main line? Perhaps your service has been disconnected. Anybody got bad service sometimes? And everybody else is talking, and your phone won't work. It won't send a text. I want to tell you, there's good reception in here. And whatever you need is in the house. So I dare you to, by faith, open up your mouth and begin to ask God for what it is that you need. Does anybody need God to do some things for them? I want to tell you that God is about to turn some things around. This may not be for everybody, but if it's somebody. But if you need God to turn some stuff around, I'm going to go old school for a minute. I dare you to jump up and just turn around and say, God's turning it. He's turning it. He's turning it. It's turning in my favor. It's turning around. And what Satan meant for evil, God meant for my good. And I want to let the devil know, you should have killed me when you had a chance. But it's too late now. My heart is fixed and my mind's made up. Satan wants you to believe that God ain't heard a word you said. You scared to pray. You scared to praise God. But I want you to know we got access to the Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. When you say Jesus, demons tremble. When you say Jesus, cancer dries up. When you say Jesus, all the hell you're going through has to line up with the word of God. Jesus. Jesus. Y'all sit down. Jesus. You thought it was over. You thought you were through. But I want to let you know that you got access to the Father. And not only will God hear you, but God has heard you. And he's about to send deliverance, breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. Y'all sit down. Woo. Y'all going to make somebody nervous in here. How about turning in my favor. It's turning. All right. Now sit down. Y'all sit down. Sit down. But here's the thing. Because I love God with my whole heart, there's never a moment when I don't have access with God. You're in here struggling with certain things. God won't hear me. And has he heard? God has heard you. And Satan is fighting you tooth and nail. You know what it looks like? How you see yourself directly impacts how God can flow his power through you. Isaiah came home. He's in sixth grade, and they can take their phone to school. And he was outside. He was looking a little frustrated. I said, Isaiah, what's wrong? He said, Daddy, I can't play Fortnite. I said, why can't you play Fortnite? All my friends playing it. Isaiah finally got a phone, but it's an iPhone 6 Plus, Barbara's old phone. He said, Daddy, I can't download Fortnite. He said, I tried, but it won't get on my phone. I said, why? He said, my system says it can't handle it. Can I tell you that there's more to God than what most of us are experiencing? But if you got a jacked up mindset when it comes to God, there are some things that God can't get in you because you're full of guilt. You're full of bitterness. You're full of doubt. And God said, this morning, I'm about to upgrade. I'm about to upgrade your system. And there's not going to be a thing that's going to be, I'm speaking to somebody in here. There's not going to be a thing that's going to be denied to you. I'm about to do a new thing, saith the Lord. A new thing is about to spring forth. Your mind is about to be changed. Your whole life is about to be changed. Somebody say upgrade. Somebody say upgrade. Somebody say it again, upgrade. It ain't that God can't. I got to get ready for it. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. It ain't that God ain't going to bless you. I just want to know, are you ready? What if he says, yes, are you ready for it? So let me get back to teaching for a moment. He says, I want to shift you into a love relationship with me where you know that you always have access with me, and I shift you from one relationship to another. The Old Testament relationship is trying to make sure God's not mad at me. It asks questions like, is this a sin? Can I do this? Who got kids in here? You ever got kids to push you to the limit and you say, I need you to make sure that you are home by midnight, and 11:59 and 59 seconds, they walking right in the door. Don't you touch that stove. You didn't say I couldn't cut it on. Yeah, they push you to the limit. But when you shift to a love relationship with God, it's not about what I can't do. It's about, can I upgrade to get all that you have for me? It's not about making God mad, and it's not about being blessed. You know, I got to do this so I can be blessed. I got to do this so I can get favor. I'm going to give $5.92 on the seventh day of the month. And when I do this, the blessing of God is going to invade my life. I got bad news for you. You were blessed before you gave that. And you're trying to get something that you already got. I can give because I am blessed. I can love because I am blessed. Matter of fact, I'm not sick. I'm healed, resisting sickness. I don't care what you're going through. You are the head and not the tail. You are upgraded status, trying to resist being downgraded in life. I fight from a place of victory, not for victory. So how I see God and see myself directly relates to power that's going to flow through me. Say it again, upgrade. The next thing is this. The same you that loves God has to love the you that God created you to be. What does it mean to love yourself? Love yourself is not just getting a manicure, pedicure, nails done, hair done, everything. It's just not about that, because you can get your nails done and still not like yourself. You don't get your stuff, you don't get your hair cut, you don't buy new stuff to like yourself. You do it because you love yourself. Because I love myself, I don't care if I can't do it myself. I'll make me a boutique right there in my own house. I can't afford to go on vacation this year, but I'm going to take some sand and put it on my own kitchen floor. Buy me my own lawn chair and just sit out there. This is my staycation, and it's just as big as somebody going to Paris. Why? Because I love myself. What does it mean to love yourself? It means committed to discovering how God made you and what he made you to do. It means being committed to be the best version of you so that you can love God's people and that you can live out your purpose. So you got to love you. Look to your neighbor and say, you got to love you. I hate to go back to the clumps, but say, you got to love yourself. Anybody remember that, the clump? Never mind. The next thing is this. The same you that loves God and loves yourself should love your neighbor as yourself. So I got to see my neighbor, and I got to see myself the way God sees me and my neighbor the way God sees them. Because here's the challenge. If you don't see yourself right, if you see God with an arrogant approach, you see yourself as here and everybody else is here. Here's what bothers me about some people. I love people who do missions. But here's the challenging part about some people who do missions is that they go, we're going to go help and bless the people. Here's the reality is you're not better than anybody. You're not here and they're there because they don't have resources. That's your brother and they need resources. And if God has blessed me, I got to go help you because I'm somebody's mission field. Somebody mentored me. Somebody poured into me. Somebody was a missionary that poured into my life, and I'm here today because somebody poured into me. So later for being arrogant, I know that you feel good about yourself, but I'm not better than anybody, nor am I below anybody. I am all that God wants me to be. There's another wrong view of yourself where there's self-hate, where you see everybody is here and I'm here. Why is God not answering me? Why am I still doing this? Why is doing this? And that's a dangerous place to rank while God's blessing certain people. No, they did not get promoted. They're not even as smart as me. They got married. They're not even as cute as me. No, they did not get a new car. Them? I know they credit. I make more. How are they riding that? And when you have self-hate, you downgrade everybody else to fit the level of your insecurity. You all right in here? I want some people to cause me to level up, not level down. Anybody need them kind of friends in here? Real love is when you see your neighbor as you see yourself. So the scripture says, I'm going to say it three times. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what he's saying? I got to love you as Jason and not Carrie. Many of us are loving people trying to be somebody else. Because people change to get love. They'll compromise who they are. They'll compromise their integrity. They'll change certain things to love certain people and to be loved. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. You are enough. You are all that God would want to be in the body. We all look different, but God made you the way you ought to be. I may not be the way you think I should be, but God made me the way I ought to be. And I can't really love you until I accept who God created me to be, because I can't be nobody but me. Can I let somebody take the pressure off themselves? You can't be nobody but you. God knows you got a temper. God knows some days you don't feel like speaking to people. God knows things get on your nerves. And you say, oh, God, if I could just change this about me. That's what helps define you. I'm not saying that God gave you those issues, but all of us are wrestling with something. And we all got to come to grips. You know what, God? I may deal with this, but I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I have victory over this in the name of Jesus. Here's why it's important. Because you will see men as you see yourself. We see the world through the lens of how we view ourselves. Matter of fact, we give advice and all this stuff through how we see ourselves. There was a young man. He was sitting here. He's getting ready to college. And I said, let's give him some advice on what he should do when he's going to college. Immediately, I turned into an 18-year-old person. And I began to think, what would I want somebody to tell me when I was going to college? That's fine just to connect with him. But here's the reality. He's completely different than I am. Different personality, different expectation in life. Anybody, if somebody ever gave you an advice and you're like, thank you, but that makes absolutely no sense to what I'm going through right now. People come reading you these scriptures and bring you all this Jesus, and he's good, but that Jesus you're talking about ain't got nothing to do with what I'm going through right here. You got to locate where people are. Locate where they are and give them. They may not be you, but you got to see where they are and give them advice where they are. Matter of fact, we see people, watch this, when we love on people, think about this. It's somebody's birthday. You on social media? What most, a lot of us do. We post a picture with not just them, but us and them. The Lord dealt with me when I was having a hard time dealing with grief. He said, Jason, you're having a hard time dealing with grief because it's a negative disruption to your story. Most of the stories I would tell, particularly when I talked about Jonathan or my sister Jessica, I would say, man, Jonathan was going to sing the world. Me and him were going to do ministry together. We used to talk every day. There's a word that I kept saying, we. He messed up my story by not being here. Never did you hear me say, man, he didn't get to see his daughter. He's not going to get to see his daughter go to prom. Most of how we see the world, we see it through the eyes of our own feelings. And I want to serve you a reality check this morning that God checked me real quick on. The world is bigger than how you feel. Because sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. The world is bigger than your feelings. And he said, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And I want you to get a healthy picture of me. And I want you to get a healthy picture of you so that you can love your neighbor. Why y'all not shouting now? Because you know how great your neighbor is? Do you know that person you sitting beside is full of potential? And if I was Satan, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd make sure you didn't trust your neighbor. I'd make sure you argue with your neighbor all day. I'd make sure you hated your neighbor. I'd make sure that you looked at them and sized them up and say who they think they are. You know why? Because I knew that if y'all ever got together, if y'all ever start loving on each other, if y'all ever start praying together, if y'all ever start dreaming together, you would do what the Bible says. One can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight. I wonder what would happen when all God's children got together and we start to sense the need of our brother and sister. Every need would be met. Everything would be supplied. Why? Because we got together. But most of us have a hard time because we spend all day judging each other. Who do you think he is? He put his pants on just like I do. Who she thinks she is? And the reality is most people you think are thinking they're better than you, they ain't thought nothing about you. They got no problems of their own. You know, am I telling the truth in here? When we start to view our neighbor as ourselves, complete world shift, and I'm through. You'll see that person on the side of the road, and I'm not telling you to empty your bank account and give it to every homeless person. But as the Lord leads you, everybody ain't running game. Do you know the difference between some of those people asking for money and you is a decision? A paycheck? And some of us, it's not a paycheck, it's a support system. Because when you got down, you had family to lift you up. You take for granted that people have support systems. And the greatest bit of poverty is not money, is when you don't have people in your life. Nobody to love on you, nobody to help you, nobody to see you through, nobody to just slide you with them one of them holy handshakes. I got your electric bill this month. I may not have it next month, but we're going to help you guys a little something on your rent this month. We got some food for you. We're going to support you. We're going to help you. And many people don't have that. Don't take that for granted. Let your neighbor say, don't burn bridges. Your support system is big. I dare you to get to know the people sitting beside you. Man, you have no idea that person sitting beside you right now. We all look good, but you don't have no idea what they're going through. Anybody ever felt like you were going through and nobody noticed it? Growing up, we used to play chicken. Y'all remember chicken in the pool where a smaller guy got on a bigger guy's shoulder and you tried to knock the other smaller guy off the other guy's shoulder? There's only one problem. When I was playing chicken this time, I didn't know how to swim. He was in about 5 foot of water and I was 4 foot, and he saw a young lady had a nice bathing suit on, and he forgot about the game of chicken, dropped me off his shoulders and went chasing. And I'm sitting here just bumping, just jumping up. Everybody else swimming, he just grinning, looking at this girl. And I'm drowning. I'm screaming. And everybody else having a good time. You ever feel like you were drowning? You screaming. And the whole world shouting, dancing, having a good time. And you're thinking, I'm going to die here. Can't you see me? I need somebody to notice me. Do you know what would happen if we quit worried about people saying we were nosy? And you just said, listen, I'm not nosy. I'm just interested. Are you good today? Has anybody ever had a conversation with somebody you thought was going to be a hello and it turned into 10, 15 minutes and they poured their heart out? Do you know how many people just want you to just love on them? Do you know how somebody is just looking for a non-judgmental place for them to unload their heart and say, listen, I may not have done right and everything, but this thing is heavy on me and I need to get this off of me. Can I tell you what I want BFF to be? You may not be perfect. Everything doesn't have to be right in your life, but I want this to be a place where you can walk in and say, just as I am, God, take me just like I am. God, I'm broken. I'm messed up. I've got some mistakes. I've got some issues. But I need a place that I can get all of this off of me. Because here's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in who you are, not who you pretend to be. And all of us need a vulnerable place where our neighbor can open up their arms, open up their heart. Because some of us have seen people go through stuff that we went through. And you sit there and watch them. And the reality, you know God's saying, go talk to him. You see that young brother going down that road that you went down. You see him looking for acceptance. You see that young sister. Oh, she just fast. She ain't going to listen to nobody. Yes, she will. She modeling somebody about, she saw somebody do what she's doing. Give her another model. Give them another perspective. Instead of saying people are bad, they hard, but they don't listen. They listening because somebody shaped the way they're doing it. I think we ought to raise up and love our neighbors. And we can stop a whole lot of stuff. The world is waiting on the real you to take the love of God. And I'll close with this. I should never stop loving you to love me. I should never stop loving me to love you. I should find out who I am so that I can take the love of God to find out how who you are and love you the way you should be loved. When we do that, it'll be a tremendous place. Stand to your feet all over the building. I know you feel like you've been on a roller coaster. We done shouted. Some of you cried. You halfway laughed at one of my jokes. But I want to encourage you today. There's a lot in you. God wants you to love you. Can you bow your head? I don't even know how to do this. But somebody in here, you're pretty disappointed with yourself. You wish there were some moments you could take back. You wish there were some things you could do different. And if you would be honest, some of the reaction you give people has nothing to do with what they've done to you, but it has everything to do with what's going on inside of you. And I want to give you a moment this morning to settle some stuff, to get at peace with your past, to love yourself. You may not have finished school. You may have had a child with a person you don't like. You may have made some mistakes. You wish you could take some stuff back. You said some stuff you wish you wouldn't have said. And the reality is your success is trying to outlive your last mistake. God said, listen, you don't have to live that way. You can let it go. Because I want you to love you this morning. Because it's hard to love somebody who don't love themselves. You're in this place where I don't want to put you on the spot or anything like that. But this is a vulnerable moment. But if you're saying, listen, I need to make some peace with God about myself this morning. If you don't mind, you can slip your hands up. I'm going to lift my hands first. There's a whole lot of stuff I wish I could do different. There's a whole lot of stuff I wish I could take back. I can't. I have to accept the love of God and love myself. Father, I'm praying now for every person in this room who's struggling on the inside. Or perhaps you're struggling loving people because of things that have been done to you. Don't you become what you've been through. Accept the love of God this morning. Somebody, God's working on your heart and his love. Here's what I'm going to pray. God, let your love fall this morning. Fall right now in the name of Jesus. Let your love break every just hard demeanor. Break pride. Break stubbornness. Break selfishness. Let us experience the fullness of your glory and presence right now. In the name of Jesus, you love us. And Father, let us receive that love so that we can pass it on to somebody else. We thank you, we honor you, and we love you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. This may be a little different for some of you, but can, if you don't mind, can you just find three people and tell them these three words? Just say, I love you. You don't have to be...